We'll be right back. I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
In everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what we gonna do? We're gonna give him the praise this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us the privilege once again just to utter the name Jesus this morning, Lord, giving you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Most of all, giving you worship, Lord. Worship is predicated upon knowing you. We know Jesus this morning, and we are thankful for that knowledge this morning, Lord. We thank you for how you've kept us and never left us, Lord. We thank you for how you saved us with your precious blood. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Hallelujah. Father, we want to continue to pray for our pastor, Lord. In his absence, we love him, Lord. We love his leadership, Lord. We thank you for his presence being here, even though he may not be here physically, Lord. We love you. We pray for his continued strengthening and healing, Lord. We pray that somebody who's out of the ark of safety, Lord, somebody who doesn't know Jesus this morning, Lord, is touched by something that we say or do, Lord. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men up to me. So we are lifting the name of Jesus this morning, him and him alone, Lord. We thank you for him this morning, Lord. We praise you for him, Lord. We ask you to endow us with your presence this morning, Lord. Continue to strengthen us, Lord, and we will continue to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on and give him a praise if you love him this morning. Come on here. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, clap your hands. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Has he been good to you? Come on. I came to give him praise on this morning. I just came to tell him thank you for everything that he's done, everything that he's brought me through. That's all we want to tell him is thank you. Is that your testimony on today? Say thank you.
Thank you.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, you are.
All you are.
Come on, raise it up. Say thank you. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
For all you've done.
Yeah.
Say thank you. Say thank you. Say Jesus for all you've done. Say thank you. Jesus. Come on, open up. Say thank you. Jesus for all you've done. And say thank you, Jesus. Open up your mouth and say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Said I want to say Jesus for all. Come on, wave your hand and say say Jesus. I want to say, I came to say thank you, Jesus. Come on, wave your hand and say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Yeah. your hands and open up your mouth unto the Lord. And just begin to thank Him. Just begin to Shabbat the Lord on today. And thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His grace.
I'm is in his holy place. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, bless the Lord with a hand clap this morning. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to give him the praise and the honor and the glory and to worship him, for he is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? We can give God the glory this morning. All of the things that he's done, all of the worship we gave him last week, let's give it to him this week. He's worthy to be praised. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You may have a seat. We thank the Lord for this day, St. Matthews. So glad to see you. So glad to be here, thanking the Lord just for another day. Thanking the Lord for our pastor, who is still coming along. Hallelujah. He's in the midst of us, if you don't believe it. But he's here. We will have two scriptures this morning. I will do the first, and it will be followed by Reverend Dan Spencer, and then there will be a prayer by Pastor Delwood Williams. Amen? Amen. Our first scripture is found in Genesis chapter 17. That's Genesis chapter 17. And we'll be reading verse 1 through 7. Genesis 17. And if you have it, say amen. Amen. And it reads, verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitfully, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Next.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Our second scripture will be found in 2 Corinthians 1:18 through verse 22. That's 2 Corinthians 1:18 to the 22nd verse. And I'll start to read. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. Next we'll have Brother Delwood Williams for prayer.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Let us look to the Lord. Lord, Father God, Lord, once again we come thanking you, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for keeping us through the night, waking us this morning clothed in our right mind, gave us safe passage that we can come into your house of prayer one more time, Lord, to praise and worship you. Now, Lord, Father God, I asked you to let your spirit just rain down these four walls today, Lord, Father God, that someone might say What must I do to be saved? And Lord Father God, I asked a special prayer for our pastor and his family. Lord, healing. Lord, healing. Lord, heal him. Bring him back soon. Lord, touch and bless each and every person that will be listening by telephone or watching by TV. Touch them in a mighty way. Lord, touch each and every one of your children that is going to be bringing forth your word today, Lord, that will be speaking. And Lord, bless the choir, the musicians. And Lord, Father God, we'll be careful to give you all the praises, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Do you know that he's real? Do you know it for yourself? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind in the drug house. Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Didn't he bless our souls last week? Didn't he bless our souls last week? Glory to his name, giving honor to our pastor. Even though he wasn't here, he was here. He was here. Thank God for you, Pastor. Sister Gordon, we pray for you and will continue to do so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deacon Jarvis went out yesterday. And they went to 250 homes. And six souls got saved. You ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's evangelism. All of those who went with Deacon Jarvis yesterday, would you please stand so that we can just give you a hand, recognize you. Hallelujah. Thank you for the work, your labor of love. Are there any visitors with us today? Any visitors? If you are, hold your hand up or stand up. We'd like to recognize you. Any visitors in the house? No visitors? No visitors. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, now it's offering time. And God loves a cheerful giver. I hear the cheerfulness out there. God loves a cheerful giver. What is a tithe? The tithe is a tenth. A tenth of what you made in the last period of time. So if you made $500, your tithe is $50. If you made $1,000, your tithe is $100. In Malachi 3 and 5, it says, will a man rob God? And you say, wherein? He says, within tithes and offerings. And he says, bring ye all of the tithes into my storehouse and prove me now what? With your tithes. And see if I won't pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. And you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen? Amen. Choir.
are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing, who am I, oh Lord?
Thank you for your giving. We thank the Lord for your living. Pastor Raymond M. Gordon, Sr., the angel of this house of God, has put together for you today a Dagwood sandwich of preaching. Remember, Dagwood sandwich. Each speaker would please stand when I call your name so that even if there are any visitors now, even our guests would know who you are. And I will ask that you would come in that same order later. First, we'll have Reverend Roy Walker. Followed by Sister Barbara Arnold. Yeah. To be followed by Minister Ed Arnold. To be followed by Lightning and Thunder, Reverend Gary Tunstall. To be followed by Reverend Lou Hill. And I, Reverend Leroy McNair, will follow Reverend Hill. Amen. And now, after the choir sings, I ask that you please greet each of these preachers as they come in the order that I announce. Amen. Amen. Choir.
This song right here is very familiar. We're going to sing it and get out of the way. You most times hear it at a funeral. Somebody said it's a funeral song when they saw it on the playlist. But I see it as a victory song. It's a song of victory. It says, I shall wear a crown. Oh, come on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. When it's all over. When it's all said and done. Oh, come on. I shall wear a crown. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. When it's all over. Hallelujah.
Say, I shall see his face. finish down here, we're going to see his face when it's all over. Oh, my God. I'm going to put on my robe. And tell how I made it. Oh my God. I said I'm gonna put on my robe.
Sister Yvette to come up, as Pastor has requested.
Praise Jesus. Buenos dias, St. Matthews. First, give an honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our CEO, Senior Pastor, and to our First Lady, Sister Gordon. We want to greet you in the name of Jesus. I have a praise report today. On behalf of our CEO and senior pastor, we want to thank all of you for your obedience and your love and support to our church. Our praise report, one of our faithful members who also volunteers in one of our ministry, had donated $15,500. Amen. We also have another faithful member who donated $7,000. And we also have another member who donated $3,000. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have a great day. Pastor loves you.
St. Matthews. If you can give me the honor to talk about a promise that leads us from place to place until we get to a peace. But before I do that, let me give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the episcopals of this house, the overseer, Pastor Gordon, to the presbyteros, the beloved elder, Pastor Gordon, to the poimen, the feeder of this house, Pastor Gordon. To the angelos, the messenger of this house, who bring the word, Pastor Gordon. Not to eat up all my time. A place to place to place. A long time ago, I was watching this movie, and this astronaut, he got in this plane. As he got in this astronaut, this craft, all of a sudden, the craft exploded. And they took him to the operating room, from surgery to surgery, from place to place. Man, and he said, we can rebuild him. We can make him better, stronger, and faster. The movie was called The $6 Million Man. Yeah. In a similar place, God has taken us from place to place. God is doing surgery in our life from place to place. He have a biopsychosocial, spiritual, and a little twist of theology to move you from place to place. And God is doing it right here in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. You see how God is moving Paul from place to place. Right here in Acts 1, he moved Paul from a place of loss. He was lost. Why? In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says this, that Paul was threatening and slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. He was moving from place to place, a place of loss. All of us at some time in our life was lost. Then God interjected his will into our will and made us willing, and we received the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he moved Paul from a place of loss to a place of discovery. In verse 3 and 4, you see, guess what? Paul saw a light coming down from heaven, and Paul said, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus who thou persecute. A pleasant discovery. He was persecuting the wrong person. In our life, we sometimes persecute the wrong person. Sometimes we say and do things that are not even right. A place of discovery. He discovered the real, true Jesus. And you got to discover for your own. There's only one, and that's Jesus. But he moved from a place of loss to a place of discovery to next, a place of purpose. In verse 15, he said in Acts 9, 15, he told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel for my purpose. A purpose to, guess what? Go to the Gentiles, speak to kings, and also to his own nation, Israel. God has a purpose in your life. And whatever you're doing, if it's not lined up with God's purpose, it's a faulty purpose. You got to make sure you line up to God's purpose. So God is moving us and moving us to a next place called a place of suffering. He said in verse 16, he said, guess what? How much he will suffer for my name. Sometimes we want peace, but sometimes you can't get peace without first getting suffering. So God allows suffering to hit your life. I know we want to run from the suffering, but sometimes we got to embrace it. It's only through the pain, the pressure, and the problems we can discover God and discover ourselves. So you move from a place of suffering to the final point is a place of peace. Ananias find Paul on a place called Straight, called the city on the street called Straight. His eyes had scales on it. And guess what? He prayed for him. And guess what? The scales dropped off. And now he can see.
How many of you are blind, don't see God's purpose? So now he saw God's purpose, and now he's got baptized, and now he has the peace with God. But the peace of God only comes from an intimate relationship with God. So I tell you, as you grow older, as you get stronger and stronger in the word of the Lord, let me tell you something. If God moves you from place to place, make sure you're standing on a strong foundation. Make sure you're standing on Christ, the solid rock. Every other ground is sinking sand. Say yeah, yeah. God bless you.
I want to thank my Heavenly Father for his loving kindness to me. And I want to thank my pastor for being the best pastor I have ever sat under. The promises of God are yea and amen. I sat on the floor at my mother's feet when I was 13 years old and listened with rapt attention to her telling me that I did not need to work my way to heaven. I did not need to worry about going to purgatory to pay for my sins. My church had taught me this. I could be forgiven, though, from her words, by just repenting and putting my trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. And I immediately believed. From that place 64 years ago, to this place at SMBC, God's promise of forgiveness toward me, which is yay and amen, has been a significant blessing in my life. The greatest demonstration of God's forgiveness in the Old Testament sits in the midst of the most tedious reading in the Bible, the instructions for building the tabernacle, found in the book of Exodus. God's desire was to dwell in the midst of his people. He said over and over again to the Israelites, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will dwell in the midst of you. It would be in the tabernacle and later the temple that God would dwell in the midst of his people. Yeah. Thus, the instructions for building the tabernacle would take 13 tedious chapters in Exodus. However, right in the middle of these chapters of instructions for building the place for God to dwell in the midst of his people, because he was to be their God, and they were to be his people. Right smack in the middle was the story of Israel's heinous sin, the golden calf incident. Thus we have humongous bookends on either side around the narrative of the golden calf. So we have seven chapters of instructions for building the tabernacle, then the golden calf incident, then six more chapters of instructions for building the tabernacle. Yeah. The golden calf is where Israel broke her marriage covenant with Yahweh and in essence committed adultery against Yahweh by worshiping the golden calf. When this happened, Yahweh wanted to destroy his people and start all over again with Moses. But Moses begged Yahweh to forgive his people, and Yahweh did. Then Yahweh put Moses in a cleft in the rock while Yahweh passed by, saying, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. I call this the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. It's strewn throughout the Old Testament. So let me read it again. The Lord, The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And because Yahweh forgave them, the instructions for the tabernacle continued for 6 more chapters as though they had never sinned. Because Yahweh wanted to be their God, and they would be his people, and he would dwell in the midst of them. From that place in the Old Testament, we come to the place of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, where the Father in heaven offers forgiveness to us. Now we can say, yay and amen, and have peace to his promise of forgiveness in this place today. So say yay and amen to God's promise of forgiveness. Thank you.
First, I want to thank the Lord of Lords and my Savior, Jesus Christ, for my salvation. And I want to thank our great pastor and evangelist, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon, for this opportunity to stand before you. Please pray for our pastor. We want him back. 2 Corinthians 1:20 reads, "For all the promises of God in him," that's Jesus, "are yea, and in him," Jesus again, "amen." Let me explain the verse this way. The yea means true, and the amen means sealed. So let's read it again in modern English. For all the promises of God in him are true, and in him they are sealed. Men often make promises they do not keep, but God never fails to fulfill his promises. There are over 7,000 promises that God has given to man. God is faithful to keep his word, and God can't lie. If he says something in his word, you better believe it. It will come to pass because he has never broken a promise. So what are some of the promises God Almighty has made that we believe in? God promised he would not destroy the earth by a flood again. God promised the Messiah. God promised that Jesus would be resurrected the third day. God promised if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God have raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. God promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. God promised he would give us wisdom if we ask for it. God promised that he would send another like himself to dwell in believers. That's the Holy Spirit. God promised that nothing can separate us from him. God promises to give us rest, peace, and comfort. God promises if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God will make an escape from temptations. God's word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Notice, folks, there are no promises of the health and wealth gospel preached by preachers on TV today. Okay? God never promised you health and wealth. But if you have Christ on the inside, you are rich in Christ indeed. Now, just as there are two sides to a coin, God has also made promises to the unbelievers. Those who won't trust in Christ for the payment of their sins. Those promises are just as truthful as and sealed as the promises made to believers. Let's examine the promises made to those who don't repent of their sin. Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Hebrews 9:27 reads, "It is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment." Jesus said, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus also said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Hell is not a place where people are tormented by the devil. It is where those who reject Christ will suffer the same fate as the devil and his demons. It is a place of final judgment. The believing Christian goes from this place to the place of eternal life in heaven. The unbeliever goes from this place to a place of eternal life and torment in hell. Nature forms us. Sin deforms us. Schools inform us, but only Christ can transform us. Everyone thinks eternity is a long way away, but all you need to do is miss a few heartbeats and you'll be there. Just saying the ABC prayer without meaning it is not salvation. Salvation starts with repentance from sin and a change in your life. The worst words a person will ever hear come from Jesus himself at Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works." Verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Church, they did many wonderful works, but were cast into hell. God's promises are yea and amen to both the believer and the unbeliever. Amen?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for what our ears have heard, eyes have seen. Thank you, Lord God, for this time that your flock would be edified. You would be glorified. Satan would be horrified. Now, Lord, we ask that you move by your spirit, hide your preacher behind the cross. Bless our pastor, bring healing and strength to his body. In Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. First, giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank my pastor for this opportunity to stand before you. I'm truly thankful to God for pastor who has worked very, very hard in this ministry, day in, day out. Even during COVID, pastor has stood in this pulpit faithfully, and I'm so grateful for that, to have a pastor and sit under pastor that knows the word, teaches the word. Amen. Amen. To my wife, I want to thank God for her. I'm praying. She'll drop a prayer on you in a minute, and I want to thank God for her for praying for me and supporting me. Amen. Have your Bibles. Genesis chapter 37, 23. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it." We're titled, "How Did I Get Here?" How did I get here? We've all asked this question at some point of our lives. I'm sure Joseph had asked this particular question. The story has a much wider focus than just you and I consider, that God works through most difficult, challenging situations in our lives. The key is our response to these trials and hardship we face on a day-to-day basis. If anyone could be excused and indulging in self-pity, it certainly would be Joseph. His brothers turned on him with the intentions of killing him. It was because of the mercy of one of his brothers, Reuben, that he escaped his life and he was sold into slavery. Here he is down in Egypt. No connections, seemingly no hope of any type of meaningful life. Have you been there before? He was nurtured in a covenantal environment of privilege and expectations as he's reminded of God's promises to his forefathers. Yet here he is abandoned, treated as nothing more than a piece of property that could be sold, bought and sold. The Bible reminds us that the favor of the Lord was on Joseph. Joseph faced these three areas I want to briefly touch on this morning. First, it was a place to place of groanings. Quite sure Joseph groaned at time. We too have groaning through our trials and our tribulations. Likewise, the Spirit helps us with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Joseph not only had a place of groanings, but it's a place to place for our growth. Again, knowing that Joseph realized over the years, personal growth in the Lord. We too are growing in the Lord as we continue to spend time with him in prayer and studying of his word. Ephesians 4:13, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Not only was a place the place of groanings, he was moved from a place to place for his growth, but it was a place to bring us to God's place of peace. Coming to the conclusion going through that he went through, God gave him a personal persuasion that he is in the place of God with peace. The application is, whatsoever place you find yourself, St. Matthews, look for God in every place. God has a purpose in everything, and he wastes nothing. Through the story, we're reminded that God was with him. At the end of the mounting scripture, we take away from Genesis 50 and verse 19. Joseph said to his brothers, am I not in the place of God? You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for the good. How did I get here? Because the Lord of glory has purpose and power and wastes time with nothing. To know, as I get ready to close, as God moves you and I from place to place, we ultimately move closer and closer to his will. The application is, stand fast, therefore. Amen. But as I close, you know we have the promises of God, which are yea and amen. As I said before, I dare you to bring the promises to God. He said, all things work together for the good. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God, you said that greater he that is in me than he that's of the world. God, you said no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God, you said I once was young but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. God, you said, how did I get here?
Yes, the Lord is in this place. I'm so thankful that he gave me a pastor, pours into me day by day. I'm so glad there's a Savior who died for me, but yet got up and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So I'm thankful for who he is. I'm thankful for what he has done. And I'm thankful that he keeps on carrying on. Yes, there is a word in Matthew 28 and verse 20 that deals with God's promises. Yea and amen. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. I come to tell you this morning that the promises of God are yea and amen. Yea says it's okay. It's well. Granted, simply put, God says yes. I just want you to know, amen says it's derived from a Hebrew word that just simply says truthful and faithful. God's promises are yes. God's promises are truthful and faithful. I just come to tell you that in this text, there's something he says. He tells you, starting out in verse 19, he says, go. But as he tells you to go, I'm reminded that David tells you, yes, God is always with you. Because in Psalm 23, in the fourth verse, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. I just come to let you know, David said, wherever you may go, whatever place to place the Lord takes you, he's already there. He's leading, guiding, directing, and letting you know to spread the good news, the gospel, that those who are on their way to hell might get an opportunity to get a ticket. And like the persuaders said, everybody get on board. There's a train to come. You don't need no ticket. Faith is the key that opens the door. I just want you to know today that Paul said, with all that was going on in Corinthians and all the troubles they were having, yes, he said in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and you know all the mess that was going on in the church at Corinthians. He comes down to the end and says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I just come to tell you that he says, yea and nay. The promises are proof that God will take you from place to place. But while you're going, don't forget to tell somebody, he died, he died. I heard a young man say to me, it wasn't Sunday, but it was Monday. I said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, the day started at 6. It was over at 6 p.m. The next day started at 6 a.m. Don't that seem like 2 to you? Said it ended at 6 p.m. But on the third day, early in the morning, at 6 a.m., I think that's 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says he got up. So now, as he moves you from place to place, tell somebody he lives. Tell somebody he died. But tell somebody, I don't care the storms in life you go through, he will take you from place to place. I don't care in time of need. He'll supply all of your needs, all of your desires, all of your wants, according to his word and his power in glory. I want you to know that in spite of all that seems to be going well, even the rich have problems. Even the wealthy have to fall down on their knees. So I just come to tell you, at the end of the 28th chapter, at the end of the last verse, the last word you hear is amen. So God is trying to tell you, whatever you seek to do, according to his will, according to his way, according to his word, he's saying amen. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to fail. You ain't got to fret. But when your knees bow, let your head rise. Cry out unto him, because he's moving you from place to place to tell his story, that he died, he was buried, he rose, and now he lives. So I've just come to tell you, God is in control. Keep on resting in him. Keep on believing in him. From place to place, the purpose of God is yea and nay.
Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who called me out of darkness into the marvelous light, the one who is the light of the world, the Amen in Revelations, the Savior of all men, the Redeemer, the Bread of Life, the Head of the Church, the High Priest, the Alpha and the Omega. And let me make it a little bit more personal. Yeah. He's the one who died for me. Yeah. Giving honor to the angel of this great church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The rod that budded, whose ministry has flowers and ripe fruit for almost 38 years. Dr. Raymond M. Gordon Sr., our pastor. I thank you for allowing me this day, Lord Jesus, to speak on behalf of Dr. Gordon and stand behind his pulpit with his people. Pastor, we love you and Sister Gordon, and we'll continue to pray for you and your healing and your well-being in the name of Jesus. Am I right about it? Let's give him another hand clap for his healing. I also give honor and appreciation to my wife, Linda. For 54 years and 12 days. And she's the one who deserves a Nobel Prize. There is a word from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20, I will read in your hearing. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit. That's verse 15. And to pass by you to Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and you to be brought to me on my way to Judea. When I therefore thus minded, did I use lightness? Or did I say something lightly as a joke? Or the things that I propose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. The word promises in the Greek is the word epugela, spelled E-P-A-G-G-E-L-I-A, which means a pledge of a divine assurance. Webster Dictionary defines it as a noun and a declaration that something will or will not be done. The central theme of 2 Corinthians is the relationship between suffering and the power of the Spirit in Paul's ministry. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians from Macedonia around 56 AD. And there are three main purposes for suffering in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. First is that we suffer to be able to comfort others. Verse 1 through 7 is a great benchmark for counseling. Yes,
The word reads, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If God brought you consolation in your suffering, we ought to be obliged to help someone else in the same way that you've been helped. We call that joining in counseling. The counselor is not perfect and high and mighty. If God has not brought you through something, how could you help somebody else? You got consoled with your own victory through Christ Jesus. I have had my conversation in drugs and pride and sex on the run. And some of you have had difficulties in your life. I had a young man in the sixth grade who was 12 years old who was the father of a child already. Some of you have had babies out of wedlock, been living in the bottle. And if you have had victory in Jesus over your mess, help somebody else. Not with a test of lie, but in humility that Jesus saves to the utmost. Second purpose of we see in the suffering, we see that the first chapter of 2 Corinthians in verses 8 through 11, we see that we suffer that we might have confidence in God alone. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the precipitous shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the captain of the seas heard my disparaging cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now saved am I. Not a man who wrote his dogma in a God's Bible, then sells it to help pay for his own presidential campaign. I said it. And in verse 12 through 24, we see that we suffer that we might claim the promises of God. Our central thought is God's promises are proof that God will take you from place to place to God's place with peace. The proof is not in the pudding. It's in the eating of the pudding. Until you take the Lord's word in you and know his promises, you are not saved at all. In Psalm 34 and 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not just good. Oreo good. The cream in the middle good. Fried fish good. Good. Blessed be the man that trusteth in him. 1 John 2, 3 through 4 says, now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What are those commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, mind, and spirit. And love your neighbor as yourself. And on these hang all the law and all the prophets. Paul had promised to come to the church at Corinth, as he was to travel there at Corinth and then go on to Macedonia. Then on his way back from Macedonia, he would stop by a second time and give them a double blessing as he then headed to Jerusalem or in Judea. That was his plan. That was his plan. How many of you know that the best laid plans of mice and men sometime go awry? All right. Circumstances force the Apostle Paul to change his plans. Paul says in verse 8 and 9, for we would not have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. I was in South Korea. I felt that kind of feeling.
Deacon Gray was in battles in Vietnam. He felt that kind of feeling where you didn't think you were going to live. I was in one battle and felt that way. In 1972, when North Korean people tried to come over to get food, and they came at night and stepped on a mine, and the mine exploded, a fireball, and we started firing. We saw people. They saw us firing. They started firing back, and it escalated till we began to talk about sending artillery to make the battle even worse. When you feel like that, when you, for the first time, here I am, a young lieutenant, scared, I'm scared to death. I got to put on battle gear for the first time. That's how Paul felt. He felt like he was about to lose his life. And like me, it knocked me off my feet, like Stevie Wonder said. This is suffering when you face opposition that makes you feel like you're going to die. You see, in Psalms 37, verse 23 to 24, it says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God protected Paul. In spite of what he was going through, Paul went further than any other apostle did. He went from country to country. And you know how he went? He didn't go on horseback. He hitchhiked on boats. He walked. He dealt with all kinds of conditions. And still, he kept going. This was no accident. God is sovereign. He allowed the suffering that Paul and his company dealt with. Not only that, but he suffered shipwrecks, beatings, people leaving him on the journey, poison snake bites while he was trying to cook over a fire, walking and walking and walking and walking. He laid his body on top of a dead man and brought him back to life. He was still standing, still alleging Jesus Christ and him crucified. The problem here is it's in some of the people in the church of Corinth. History shows that Corinth was a thriving, large city of about 600,000 people, second only to Rome in population. The people of Corinth were rich because of Corinth's location that made it a center of trade and business. They could easily make money in Corinth. Because of their being rich, some of the members began to reason logically, like mathematicians, and began to doubt Paul's sincerity. In his absence, Paul sent a letter that was delivered by Titus. And some began to distrust the apostle Paul because he didn't come when he said he would come. Oh, he had promised to be there. You broke your promise to be here, Paul. That was in their mind. They reasoned that maybe he's not a real apostle. He lied to us. He don't even know who he is. Look at him. He's short. He works with his own hand, making tents. He's unattractive. Says he just met Jesus after he died. Ooh, wait a minute. That don't add up. He's not like the other apostles. How many know that he may come, may not come when you want him, but he'll be when? Right on time. They accuse Paul of being fickle, or a person who casually changes his mind from one thing to the other. They insisted that if Paul was a man of integrity, he would have come in person instead of sending a memo. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the letter. Paul's plans were changed by God. But the Corinthians Christians began to say that Paul must be a man who says yes and means no, and says no and means yes. Paul was criticized as a man who couldn't decide on a plan or carry that plan out to fruition, or if you will, until it produced fruit. But I'm here to tell you that the Apostle Paul was anointed of God to take the word of salvation to the Gentiles. If we didn't have this epistle, we would be missing a good part of what God had in store for Paul. Pastor Gordon is an anointed man, anointed to teach the unadulterated word of God.
Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. It's still standing. It's still standing. And the impact of the Holy Spirit and Pastor Gordon's leading and guiding lit this place up last Sunday. Oh, he's anointed all right. Ain't no doubt in my mind. Even if he's not here in the flesh, he is here in the spirit, leading and guiding, establishing, making plans, and seeing what only a leader, an anointed leader, can see. And even in his suffering, he is here through his prayers, through phone calls, because he is in Christ Jesus. It was all right that the Corinthians were disappointed with Paul, that he didn't come to visit him, but they were as wrong as two left shoes on one right foot. They needed to see Paul's heart and God's hand in the circumstances. The words written to the church at Corinth in his own handwriting were just as much Paul as it was if he was standing right there in front of them. Why? Because he glorified God by preaching Jesus Christ on paper and him crucified and rose from the dead. Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. Also, he will do it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, as you've heard, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. Let me say this. America is always a land of promise in an election year. Ain't that right? The promises of God are certain, but they don't all mature in 30 days. God makes a promise. Faith believes. Hope anticipates. And patience quietly waits for it. If we had kept our promise in the wedding ceremony, lawyers would be out of work today and prisons would be half filled. God promises are like life preservers. They keep the soul from sinking in the sea of trouble. If you had kept your resolution that you made last year, you'd probably be skinny by now. Rich and bored. When you break your promise, you break something that probably cannot be mended back together again. Like Humpty Dumpty. But God is a promise keeper. Yes, sir. Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that they should all come to the repentance of the Lord. He waits for you to get it right. He gives you space to get it right. He promises. He promises. He promises spiritual rest. In verse 3 and 5 in Psalm, I lay down and sleep, I wake again, and the Lord sustains me. He promises peace that guards the heart. In Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he promises us tranquility of the soul. In Matthew 11:28-29, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. In Romans 4:13-25, we see that God has made provisions for his people. The promised land, they have it. The promise that his descendants would be a nation. They are. The promise that through his descendants, all the families of the world would be blessed. It's been done.
He is the promise keeper. God says yes to all that was accomplished in Christ Jesus. If I baptize someone in the name of Jesus, God says yes, because it is in Christ Jesus. Everything in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. In Genesis 3:15, he said yes to the prophecy that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head and that the serpent would bruise his heel. That seed became Jesus through 42 generations. He said yes to Jesus bringing the Samaritans into the fold through the repentance of a woman at the well who didn't understand that God's design for marriage was one man, one woman, one lifetime. He said yes to the persecution that caused Jews to flock to the end of the world. God said yes to grace, undeserved favor, and God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid it all, and all to him I owe. My God said yes to the healing of the sick and the raising of the dead. Yes to the converted drug user, to the repentant, lustful persons. If they were redeemed of the Lord said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom the Lord has redeemed out of the hands of the enemy, let him say so. My God says yes to Saul of Tarsus, whose blinding conversation, that conversion rather, that he had before Christ Jesus, and was given a new name and a new ministry, a labor of love and a suffering to carry to the ends of the known world in the name of Jesus. And my God says yes, yes, yes to Jesus' sacrificial ministry that included an old rugged cross, death and resurrection. And God said yes to the King of Kings who sit on the right hand of him with all power in his hands of things on the earth and things under the earth. Yeah, he fulfilled the promises of prophets with divine assurance in the Old Testament and said, it's finished. 42 generations later, he kept his promise. But in us, amen. When we say amen to the work of Jesus Christ, it releases divine assurance in your life and gives God the glory. You're saying, God, everything you've done is good when you say amen. There is a word called certitude, spelled C-E-R-T-I-T-U-D-E. And it means freedom from doubt, especially in matters of faith. When we say amen, it gives God the glory because you have said, there is no doubt in my mind about the certainty of Jesus, about the certainty of the Godhead, about the certainty of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt in my mind about the appreciation of God's salvation in the presence tense. In the here and right now, Jesus is Lord. He is a promise from the seed of Abraham. Somebody give God the glory and say amen. 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 Because God is the promise keeper. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me, even my foes, they fall, because God is the promise keeper. You can't mess with me. God is my assurance. He is my blessed assurance. My God is my maker. He is a foretaste of glory divine. He's my heir of salvation. He's my purchase of God, filled with his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. He is. He is. The promise keeper and divine assurance. Amen and amen. It's time that we invite someone to know what I know, that Jesus is the light, that he's a righteous way out, that he saves to the utmost. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou would confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him, meaning Jesus, from the dead, then you shall be saved.
For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's time for someone to come and say, what can I do, Lord? Just yield, 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 and say, Lord, I'm here on my knees. What can I do? How can I be saved? I'm of a mind that everybody in here is not saved. If you're not saved, I'm telling you, come and get saved. I'm not ashamed to tell you I was a rotten rascal, a drug user, chased women all over the place, and abandoned my wife and my children and everything else. But God, through the Holy Spirit, moved in my life, told me to go tell the truth on yourself. I don't care if they don't like it, tell it. They might not forgive you, but tell it. Well, if you're like me, I'm asking you today, come on up here and get saved. Don't be ashamed if you had children out of wedlock and you're still outside because you're ashamed. Come on in here and get saved. If there's no one who is not saved, if there's someone who is saved and don't have a church home, I invite you to come and be a part of this great ministry under this great pastor. Will you come? It's easy. ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. Will you come? Will you come? Amen, amen. And now we will have our ending. Now unto him who's able to keep us and to present us faultless before his presence, the only wise God, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to come up and meet these ministers. All of them at the altar here. Come up and meet these ministers and greet them and encourage them.
Oh, I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.